Lee waited for a moment, but Longstreet said nothing. And the silence lengthened until at last Lee said, "You will attack on the right with the First Corps." Longstreet nodded. He took off his hat and wiped the sweat from his brow. He was beginning to relax inside, like an unclenching fist. Now that you knew for sure it was coming, a man could rest a bit. "I want you to attack en echelon, to take Cemetery Hill in reverse. Hill will support you with Pender and Anderson. Heath's division will be in reserve. It had a hard day yesterday. Ewell's people will demonstrate to keep them from reinforcing against you."
"All right," Longstreet said, "but I don't have Pickett. I have only Hood and McClaws."
Lee said, "You will have to go in without him." Longstreet said stubbornly,
"Law's brigade is still coming up. I must have Law."
"How long will that take?"
"At least another hour."
"All right," Lee nodded. His head bobbed tightly. He was blinking.
"It will take time to position the men. The artillery."
"At your discretion, General."
"Sir."
Longstreet bowed slightly. "Let us go to the map." Lee turned back toward the table. "I am suspicious of written orders since that affair at Sharpsburg." Back at the map table, men waited for them expectantly. Someone told a joke. There was a ripple of laughter. Lee did not seem to notice. McClaws and Hood were at the table, along with A.P. Hill. Hill had looked well in the morning, but he did not look well now. Lee bent down over the map. He said, "You will attack up the Emmitsburg Road, up Cemetery Ridge, passing in front of the Rocky Hill. Your objective will be to get in the rear of the Union Army." McClaws bent over the map. He was a patient man, stubborn and slow, not brilliant, but a dependable soldier. He had a deep streak of sloppy sentimentality to him, and he loved to sit around fires singing sad songs of home. He tended to be a bit pompous at times, but he was reliable. Lee said to McClaws, "Well, General, do you think you can carry this line?" McClaws shrugged, glanced briefly at Longstreet. He was well aware of Longstreet's theory of defensive tactics. He said pontifically,
"Well, sir, I know of nothing to prevent my taking that line, but then, of course, I haven't seen it myself. Wouldn't mind taking out a line of skirmishers to reconnoiter the position."
"Unnecessary," Longstreet said. "Waste of time. We've had scouts out all morning. Let's get on with it, General. I don't want you to leave your division."
McClaws looked to Lee. Lee nodded. "Yes. Well, we will step off in echelon from right to left. Ewell will wait until he hears your artillery. The left of your advance will be on the Emmitsburg Road. Your right will sweep under those rocky heights.
We will have enfilade fire coming down on us."
"Not for long," Lee said. "You'll be up over the ridge and take them in the rear. When you are heavily engaged, Ewell will take them in the front."
Longstreet nodded. "It might work. Heavy loss, but it might work."
Hood, who had been silent, said suddenly, softly, "General Lee?" They turned to face him. Lee considered him a fine tactician, and more than that, Hood was a man you listened to. He said in that soft voice, "General, I'd like to send one brigade around those rocky heights. I think I can get into their wagon trains back there." Lee shook his head quickly, raised a hand as if warding him off. "Let's concentrate, General. Concentrate. I can't risk losing a brigade." Hood said nothing, glanced at Longstreet. McLaws was not quite sure where to post his division. They discussed that for a while and then explained it to Hill. Longstreet turned suddenly to Sorrell, who was standing by.
"Major, I need something to eat."
"To eat, sir? Of course, sir. What would you like, sir?"
"Marching food," Longstreet said.
I don't give a damn what. Sorrel moved off. Longstreet looked up and saw Harry Heath, a white bandage on his head, standing weakly by a tree, looking down vacantly to the map table, trying to comprehend.